The reading is Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received that you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Thank you very much. I should also just have introduced myself. I'm Josh, one of the leaders here, and Sarah and Mark have been doing a great job of leading us in the first part of the service. So I'm going to just do the last bit, the bit where the adults think a little bit more about this passage. And as we do that, I'm going to pray and ask for God's help again. Father, what a privilege that we call you Father, that we get to know you, and thank you that you do speak to us, that you want us to know you better. And so we pray that by your Spirit, you'd help us to understand these words and understand more of the reality of being adopted children of God. Amen. So the great Anglican scholar J.I. Packer wrote that Father is the Christian name for God. Our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. And that's true. You won't find other religious groups calling God Father particularly. Muslims, for example, will very strictly say Allah is not our Father. He is beyond that. But the Christian message was that everybody could know the Creator God, the Supreme God, as their Father. And we're going to then explore a bit more of what it means in Romans 8. And you may be here exploring the Christian faith, or you may be here as someone who's been a Christian for decades. Either way, this is good news that's worth thinking about. But before we see the good news, we're going to have to remove a comforting illusion that our culture likes. And the comforting illusion is this. I don't know whether there's a God or not, but if there is a God, I'm automatically his child. He automatically loves me. And this, I think, is our sort of culture's backstop. And it's really nice. It's really comforting. If I believe this, if there is a God, he's going to love me and I'm going to be his child. What it means is I don't have to commit to anything now, but I have a sort of vague hope that it's all going to work out well in the future. God will forgive me. I'll become his child. That's all fine. But what Paul says in the letter to the Romans and what he says right here, he talks about adoption. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And the thing about adoption is that before you're adopted, you're not a child. So Paul isn't telling us there's this universal truth we've all failed to recognize. Everyone's already a child of God. But he's saying there's an amazing new status that you can have. Adoption into the family of God. You were outside of the family. We were all outside of the family of God because we'd all run away from God. We'd rejected him as God. We had tried to run life and the world our own way. In fact, earlier in this letter, Paul goes so far as to say that we were enemies of God. In Romans 5 and verse 10, he says, "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" See, those who were enemies of God are reconciled by Jesus. Christ, God the Son, become human, has died to bring us from being rightly condemned by God. And beyond that, not just no condemnation, but into having God living in us and us being children of God. But all of that is a gift, not the automatic state of human beings. Our default is to be enemies of God. Enemies of God being the greatest thing, the supreme thing, the one that's in charge. And so we see that this gift that's being offered here is an amazing gift. And it's a bigger gift even than forgiveness. Forgiveness is an amazing gift, that God doesn't count the things we've done wrong against us, but to be counted into God's family, brought into God's family, is a greater gift. So Packer says, adoption is the highest privilege of the gospel. The traitor is forgiven, brought in for supper, and given the family name. To be right with God, the judge, is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. And this is the amazing gift, the gift of adoption. Now, one of the things about adoption is that in adoption, it's not the parent's neediness that drives things, but the child's need. And in the case of God, God had his own perfect family of love. He is Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. He has perfect life and love and joy in himself. So when he makes and rescues and adopts human beings as his children, it is not because he's otherwise lonely. It's not because otherwise he can't enjoy something. It's not because he's needy. Adoption flows from his fullness, not his emptiness. He graciously, lovingly reaches out to find lost people, even in his case, enemies, and bring them into his family. And that is why Christians tell other people about Jesus. God who doesn't need you, has chosen to set his love on human beings and to bring them into his family. Jesus came so that lost people, who are even enemies of God currently, could be turned around and become part of God's family forever. And so we want people to take hold of Jesus' hand and be led into the Father's presence and know the joy of being loved by God the Father. And the Spirit is the one who kind of helps us to do that, who enables us to do that. That's why the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Objectively, the one who actually does the work for us, who makes us receive all that Christ has done for us, is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in us. And then, having made us children as the fundamental reality, he then helps us to know and enjoy the relationship with God the Father. It's a bit like with that skit that we had where some people hadn't quite realized that COVID is no longer the threat that it was. And they'd forgotten that. And they were then back in the old ways of limitation. Well, we can be like that with God. We forget. We don't take hold of the reality that we now have a loving relationship with God as our Father. And we slip back into thinking God is distant. And so the Spirit comes and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Our society, I think, again, tends to assume that God, if he's there, must be pleased with us. And so calling God Father, or for that matter, mate, or any other familiar term, well, that seems easy. You know, why would you need the Spirit to help you to call God Father or Daddy? But if you've read through the Bible a bit, you'll know that the Bible presents God who is like a furnace flame of purity, hating and destroying every trace of evil. And the Bible presents God as the creator of mountains and seas, the power behind hurricanes and earthquakes. And so the psalmist, Psalm 97, says, fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. If that is who God is, then his goodness and bigness should awe us. We should feel like people do, being deafened by the Victoria Falls or gazing up while climbing the Alps. Ultimate reality is immeasurably greater than I, and I'm feeble and insignificant in comparison. Or maybe just think of the coronation. The new King of England, King Charles, is hardly likely to be interested in speaking to little me. How much less might the great High King be expected to be interested in me? And so it's not an automatic thing that people naturally fall into thinking of God as their Father and having this, Daddy, I need some help relationship with him. It's the grace of God that we have that relationship, and he needs to help us to step into the privilege of that, to enjoy it. He wants us to know that we are not only in the family, but we're securely in the family. To not only be in the family as a second-class child, but as a beloved child. And so the Holy Spirit comes to help us cry, Abba, Father. Jesus dying for us is like the adoption papers being signed. The Holy Spirit in us is like the new adoptive parents hugging their new child and bringing them into the house. The Holy Spirit is God's hug of welcome, his permanent hug of welcome, so that we know God's love for us. Now, for some of you, the Holy Spirit's work will almost be something you're not aware of. It's invisible because you know Jesus died for you and you're confident God is your Father. You talk to God, you're confident you're loved. And this morning, perhaps you're just, for the first time, learning the reason you're confident, the one who has enabled you to do that is the Holy Spirit. And you don't need to think I've got it wrong. You just need to be thankful. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, has helped me to enjoy this relationship with God. And maybe you've wondered, actually, do I have the Spirit because I haven't had a particular experience? Here is the reassurance. If I call God my Father and I trust Jesus as my Savior and my older brother, the Spirit has been at work in me. He's enabled this. I do have the Spirit. Others of you may have been much more aware of the Spirit in your life. You may have had a particular experience or something. And here you're encouraged and reminded to see that the Spirit actually always draws us to see the Father and the Son and to draw near to them. And so welcome the Spirit's work, but don't think spirituality is all about chasing experiences of the Spirit. Follow where the Spirit points. He points you to draw near to God the Father in confidence and joy and to rejoice in Jesus and his saving work for us. That don't pursue this. You're not actually honoring the Spirit if you don't go where the Spirit leads you, which is to the Father and the Son. And perhaps for others here this morning, actually, you lack confidence that God is your loving Father. Perhaps that is because of your own experience of earthly fatherhood, which was not healthy or happy in some way. Or perhaps that's because you haven't yet trusted Jesus to put you right with God. But here is the invitation this morning. Come to Jesus, and he gives you forgiveness and the adoption papers, the right to be children of God. And then welcome the work of the Spirit. Ask him to make real in your heart what is now true because you've trusted Jesus, so that you can enjoy the loving relationship with God the Father as your Father. Adoption as children of God is an amazing gift of God. The Spirit enables us to enjoy this relationship. And there's one sense in which we have everything already. We're already fully loved children. But there's also a sense in which we're waiting to really experience everything that we have as children of God. But one day we're going to be made perfect. And we're going to live with God in a world made perfect. We'll be heirs with Christ when God comes to put everything right. Verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You may have wondered why some of these verses in Romans and actually the song we sang, Father God, talk about all Christians being sons. Men and women who are Christians are called sons of God. And the reason is because in the Roman world, adoption to sonship is what happens when you become an heir. So if you are adopted as a son in the Roman world, that wasn't what they generally did for babies who needed help. It's what they did when you didn't have a son of your own and you needed someone to take on the family line. And so the point that's being made here is not just that you're getting brought into God's family, but that you're being given the highest rights as a child. You're going to inherit everything. And so whether you are male or female, young or old, rich or poor, you are, if you're trusting Jesus, going to inherit everything with Christ. And whereas the Romans tended to look for a young man who'd had a good education who would be a promising heir, God looks for the misfits and the people who couldn't make it on their own and the failures and the rejected and the broken and says, I want you in my family and I want to make you not just a second-rate child, but a full heir alongside Jesus. So we are going to inherit wonderfully. Everything is going to belong to Jesus and everything is going to be put right and we will be right there alongside him. But here and now, the world is broken and there is suffering. And we don't escape that as children of God. Our suffering doesn't mean we're not loved children of God, because Jesus, the beloved Son, suffered. And so we have sure access to God the Father, our loving Father now, but we walk with God through a world of suffering. Now we are, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. God's love for us means we have unhindered spiritual access now and a truly abundant and perfect eternal happiness to come. But that doesn't mean an easy life. And in the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking a bit more at what Romans 8 tells us about how we live in this world of suffering, what God's purposes are in that, how we can be confident of his love even in the hard times. But for now, let's just pause for a moment to remind ourselves, if we trust Jesus, we are loved children of the awesome and holy God. Let's just take a moment to pause on that. If you haven't yet said yes to Jesus and welcomed the Spirit and started speaking to God as your Father, you could do that now. In the quietness of your heart, you could talk to God. If you have done it, remember how amazing this is, what a privilege this is. Dear Father, thank you that you graciously loved us, that you sought us, that you wanted us, you chose us to be in your family. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came into this world to suffer and die for us, our great older brother, to bring many children into your Father's family. Holy Spirit, thank you that you come to live in us and make a permanent connection between us and the Father. Help us to believe, to know in our inner being that we are loved children, whatever happens to us. Amen.